Let's begin. Perian Perik Lamidalit Pasik Lamid Zain, the last Pasik. Yosef Al Khatose Pesha Deinenu Yispaik Vierev Amodov Lokel. Eliu says to Eiv, Eiv, you have are adding to your Khatose Pesha. Khatose means your inadvertent sin. Pesha means a sin that's done b'mezid. You're getting worse and worse. It may be that when you started out, you were a shoygeg. You were not held accountable for your sins, for your rebellious words. But now that you continue to argue and to say these harsh things against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's considered to be in the category of Pesha. And maybe we could ask this gentleman behind you and go to the front of the... Okay. So this is the argument of Beinenu. Beinenu means that it's being done Beinenu among us publicly. The problem is that this sin of Eiv, his complaint against Kadosh Baruch Hu, is being done in public, and when it's being done in public, it's creating a chil Hashem. Yispaik means he's adding. He's adding more than is permitted, more daiva hoiser, more than is proper. The yeref, not just is he adding, he's multiplying. It's an expression. He's adding and multiplying. Amar of his words, words he means his rebellious words, lokel towards Hashem. His conduct is a very critical pasuk. I don't even know if we have such a critical pasuk in the sefer so far. So critical that it's chait is turning into pesha. It's being done in public, Chil Hashem. Yispoik, he's adding more than is allowed. Here he's multiplying his harmful words, lokel, against Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let's look at the Mesudos David Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Pasuk Lamed Zayin Ki Yosef Ki al ha-chet asher yechte b'libo, the chet that he has committed in his heart, l'kachesh b'hashkocha, to deny Hashem's providence, O Yosef Pesha, he's adding Pesha. In addition to the inadvertent sin that was committed thus far, now it's turning into a sin that's done b'mezid. Asher b'neinu, what is the significance of the word b'neinu meaning among us? So the Mitzvah explains, b'pirsum raf. This sin is being done in public. And the more publicity, the greater the chilul Hashem. B'pirsum rav yisloinein, he is complaining. De'sipuko. De'sipuko means more than enough. You've passed the limits. Maybe we can give you some leeway. If you're suffering, you're in pain, you have a right to be upset. But your words have already exceeded what is permitted. The yirbe amorav ela alokel, and he has added, he has multiplied arguments against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The im kol ze yelchul hem hayisurim, and if the yisurim are now going to suddenly disappear, it's not going to be good. People are going to get the wrong message. Yinol delas lefnei anshe oven. It's going to cause sinners, it's going to prevent sinners from doing tshuva. They're going to see a wicked man, Eiv, not a person who complains, and then suddenly his suffering goes away without him doing tshuva. The average person in the street who observes this event will say it's all chance. Look at Eiv. Eiv did not do tshuva, and his suffering went away. So too, I will not do tshuva, and my problems will one day go away. They will not do tshuva. They will say hakolba b'mikra. Everything happens by chance. The same way they came by chance. That's how they departed. Let's first take a look at, before we do the summary, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Lamed Zayin, he says something very similar. Yispaik Lashon Roiv Devarim V'Hadam Askol. Yispaik means an abundance of words and the raising of the voice. That's not exactly what the Mitzudos says. According to the Mitzudos, Yispaik means De Hasipuk. Look at the Mitzudos Tzion. The Mitzudos Tzion is always in line with what it says in Mitzudos David. He says your De Hasipuk, which means more than enough, more than sufficient. He has exceeded his limits. Veratzulaymar in the Mitzvah Sion, harbe ma'od, very much. Kimo b'malo sifko, he has filled up his measure. The measure has been filled and the measuring cup is overflowing. That's how the Mitzudos translates the word Yispoik. That's not exactly how that Rashi translates. Rashi says that the word Yispoik has a connotation, it relates to words. Lashon roiv devarim v'haram askol, an abundance of words and the raising of the voice. So now he puts the entire thing, he puts the Rashi, next words of Rashi, he puts the entire expression in context. Af omdam shagisi et tolin. He's quoting a pasuk from back. He's saying, he says, what do I need? Who oimer? Malanu uladvarav ioif says, what do I need all of your complaints? What do I need you to come and give me musar? Af omdam shagisi, certainly shagisi et tolin. The problem lies with me. Now, the way the Mitzvahs explained this pasuk back in Perek Yutes was that no one really knows what I've done. Even if it's true that I've committed a sin, but there's no way anyone here can be aware of what I have done. So don't try to tell me I've done this. Don't try to describe to me what I've done when it's not possible for a person who really knows. So according to Rashi, Rashi seems to be saying the word "beinenu yispaik" is Eev says that this is between me and Hashem. It's not between. It has no effect on you. Something along those lines. Eev doesn't realize that we are going to suffer for what's happening. Rashi explains, "Umaspik lanu avoinos." So here is where Rashi seems to contradict himself one line above. He takes the word sipuk, and now he says, he refers to the friends. The friends are going to, the averos are going to quiz among them. Al sha'anu shoymim kach, because we're listening and we're being affected. Okay, the basic gist of what Rashi appears to be saying is that beinenu yispok, you're having influence on us. Your arguments and your words of apikorsis are having an effect on us, and this effect will cause us to be punished in the future. And that's how this is how Rashi learns the word beinenu yispok, among us. In other words, if we read the pasuk again in its entirety, ki Yosef ala chatosei pesha, Eiv is adding to his chet pesha. He's getting stronger and stronger in his arguments against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and by doing this, beinenu yispok, it is having a bad effect upon us. We who are listening are being affected, and this is causing sins. Yispok means it's adding to us sin, because we are in your presence and are affected and influenced by your words. The Yerev Amod of Lokel, as you increase your arguments against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So don't say, the way Rashi appears to learn is, don't say that it's just between me and Hashem. Let me say whatever I want. Let me express myself. Let me vent my frustration. And it's only between me and Hashem, and it's none of anyone's business. It's not true. When you speak publicly about your difficult situation, people listen. And when people listen, they are affected. And when they are affected, they begin to believe what you say. And they also become apikorsim. And then if they're apikorsim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have to punish them as well. So it's not a private matter. Your suffering is not a private matter. It's a public matter which has to be addressed. It has to be understood. And the world has to know a proper understanding of why you suffer, so that they should not become a sinner like you. That's how Rashi learns. Mitzudas, again, did not learn that approach. Mitzudas learned is that there's no mention here whatsoever that there's an Achil Hashem, that people are going to be affected. Well, I take that back. The Mitzudas really also alluded to that. But it's less direct. In the Mitzudos, the point is, when you do something like this in public, it's a very big chil Hashem. And it's true, people are going to learn from it. But before we get to the step of where people learn and follow in your ways, with your false hashkafa, just the fact that you say such things in public, that itself is a very great form of chil Hashem. Okay, so this is Kach Mefush B'Vikrab. That's the conclusion of Rashi. Now let's look at the summary. Let's go back to the Mitzvah Stav and look at the Mitzvah. He summarizes this entire parak. Ha'ele mehamane ha'hi. What is the conclusion of this argument? Asher Yoshev Loimar, Elihu responds to Eiv, Shehamokoy Meshalem Chol Echot Kigmuloi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards and punishes each person according to what he deserves. Ve'enoy Moitzi, Tnuos lechavel masid v'Hakadosh Baruch Hu does not look for excuses, pretexts to harm a person. Misinasa ebam, because Hakadosh Baruch Hu hates a person. That's ridiculous. Ki im hoya kein malo laharbos betachbulois. If Hakadosh Baruch Hu really wanted to harm a human being, he would bring an end very quickly. Hashem would not do it in a long, drawn out way. Halei hakol shelo, the entire will belongs to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Uviyada la'abid hakol bekalos. And Hakadosh Baruch Hu, if he wants, he can destroy the world very quickly. Ve'ein miyimche biyado, and no one can protest. Avol im hakol yase b'mishpat hadal. But if everything is going to be done with mishpat, hadal yihye oyshua, whether he is poor or whether he's generous, hamat imrav, whether he has a little bit, whether he has a lot, ve'in koyach b'marechas hashemem levat l'gezeres hamakom, and the constellations, the mazal has no power to change Hashem's gezera, meharoy loshuv l'Hashem, and therefore it's only fitting a person to do tshuva, l'lebayit b'yisurim, and now reject the yisurim, af yisave l'bal yelchu ha'yisurim. Even Eli also was mevach. She also prayed to Hashem that Hashem should not let the suffering stop until Eev does tshuva, because if the suffering would just go away on its own without Eev doing tshuva, then no people would not learn a lesson from Eev's suffering. Af Yisave, he also desired Lebal Yelchu Hayisrim Eev Ad Ki Yashuv, unless Eev would do tshuva, for the purpose that Eev would serve as an example for mankind, Laman Hayros Tshuva, in order that he should serve as an example for the world that people should do tshuva. So again, in summary over here, what he's saying one more time, and outside is this paragraph was that he introduced a new concept, a new theme, which is not at all clear. But the theme that the Mitzvot introduced according to the way he interprets the pasuk is that if a Kadosh Baruch Hu really was what we call this evil genius, Chashul, is the words of Apocursus, but this theme was correct, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is out to get man. He's always looking to look for excuses to harm man. It wouldn't make sense for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to prolong the suffering. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would bring an end to Eve very quickly. That's the nature of an individual who wants to put an end to his opponents, to his enemies. You don't do it in a drawn out way. You quickly obliterate them. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is causing Eve to suffer in a slow, prolonged way is an indication that there is a higher purpose for his suffering. Okay, that's a very deep idea, which, that's what it says. I don't really have any clear understanding. I don't really understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu do whatever he wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be long and slow and deliberate and prolonged, so be it. But that's the approach that Eliyahu is telling Eve. Just the fact that suffering goes on for a very long time is a clear indication that there is a higher purpose for man's suffering. Okay,
frequently we see in the portion that they draw on the experience of Stone.
Yeah, Stone was quick. One, yeah. Two, three.
So maybe he's looking at it from a historical.
Oh, we have that theme. That theme was presented many, many times. Whereby the Umos Olam Hakadosh Baruch Hu allows them to accumulate sin. Hashem is silent, allows them to accumulate sin, and in a moment he destroys them. By Klal Yisrael, Hakadosh Baruch Hu punishes quickly, little by little, and that's a bracha in disguise, because that way it's the suffering is not overwhelming, and we can endure, we can last forever.
So it could be applicable.
That is suffering, but over here it's in a very intense form of suffering, which is going on and on. All right.
Who says he's Jewish?
Okay, I don't know. This is an idea. That there is a... Like you hear, unfortunately, you hear sometimes people say that the suffering was l'mala mederech hateva. It's just not normal that the suffering should go on for such a long period of time. And all of the statistics... We're working against the person. That itself shows that the Yad Hashem is here, is present, and the suffering is for a higher purpose, which obviously we do not understand.
By the way, you can make the same analogy for Golos,
yeah.
The period we're in now. That also, this long, drawn-out
Okay, it's true, absolutely. Okay, let's now go. Okay, let's start up Perek Lamed Hey. Now, I want to do the Perek Lamed Hey instead of do the summary at the end. Let's read the summary at the beginning. That way, we get more of a flavor of what we're about to learn. Because again, it's another very hard parak. So you jump ahead to Pasuk Tes Zayin. Okay, jump to Pasuk Tes Zayin, the very end, where he gives you a summary. Okay, we're gonna do the psukim inside, but let's at least read the summary. That way, we'll get a little bit of an insight into what we're about to learn. Okay, so the perek tez the end of the summary. Again, it's perek lamed hey pasuk tezayin. Ha'ila mimanehahi. Eliyahu is about to present a third argument. Question is, what point is he coming to address? Eliyahu said many things in the beginning of the Sefer. Exactly what point is he coming to address in this particular parak, in this third response? He's coming to address Perik Lamed Hey Pasik Tez Zayin, the last pasuk. I want to do the summary before we do the actual text. The summary of this argument, Lahoshev al Tlunos Iyov, is to respond to Iyov's complaint. What complaint exactly? Asher Yisroim al Machoivov. Iyov complains about his suffering. Im kiya also es hatoiv. Iyov complained, I'm a good man, and therefore I deserve reward. And instead of reward, I'm receiving punishment. So again, that's the argument. Al mechayvav im ki also es hatoiv. It's a very specific point he's coming to address, at least according to the interpretation of the Mitzudos David. Eev says, my whole life, until this point in time, it's been 70 years, I've done only good, and for good I deserve reward. Where is the reward? Forget about it. It's until now we've been focusing on mazel and on why people suffer. Here he's just asking, where is the reward? I'm about to die. How could it be that I'm about to leave this world and I have not received reward for my good deeds? So to that, Elihu, in this third response, will say, Ki Yoshev Amorim, Loimar, he will respond with words saying, Haloi Ein Al Hamokim L'Shalim Gemul L'Adam. Hashem doesn't have to reward you. You're making a mistake. You've lived 70 years with a lie. They've taught you in Cheder that if you'll do a good deed, Hashem will reward you in this world. That's not true. Hashem does not owe you anything. For the best good deeds, Hashem has no obligation to provide you with reward. Ki mayoya lo bitzidko. What benefit has God had from your good deeds? If a person would do a good deed and Hashem would derive benefit, then ein hochinami, you can argue, Hashem has an obligation to compensate for the benefit. If you go into the store and you take goods, you take merchandise, you have to compensate. You have to pay for the good deeds. If you are a recipient of a service, you have to pay for the service. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu would have received a service or received some form of benefit from man, then you can argue Hashem is obligated to repay the person who did the service, who did the good deed. But guess what? By us doing good deeds, by man doing good deeds, Hashem has not derived any benefit whatsoever. Nothing. Therefore, Hashem doesn't owe us anything. You've lived your whole life with this mistaken notion that you doing a good deed gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu satisfaction, gives Hashem benefit. That's false. Hashem doesn't need man for satisfaction. Yeah. So let's see, he's going to explain that here in this Mitzudas he addresses that. Let's just read the word. But let's first get. Oh, let's see, let's read the word. Let's see what it says over here. He also says, Ki Yoshevam Loimar Haloi Ein Al Hamokam L'Shalim Gemul L'Adam. Man, Hashem has no duty to pay reward to man. Ki Ma Yoyil Loi Bitzidko. What benefit does Hashem get from man's righteousness? Uma Yazik Loi Birishal. And furthermore, Hashem does not receive harm when man sins. So by not doing an Avera, you're not causing Hashem benefit, because even if you would do the Avera, you would not have caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu harm. So why then does HaKadosh Baruch Hu reward man? Ulam. So these are very powerful words in the Mitzudos. This is how he's going to explain this entire parak. Ulam. Mitzad HaChesed. This that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives man reward for his good deeds is nothing more than an act of kindness. Bo hagmul comes reward. Ulezek hasher yirbu hapoyshim v'atzadik. Now here he's coming now to add another very powerful idea, which is a theme which is all over Chazal. Chazal Kuskal mentioned this theme very, very often. And he just adds this right in here. I mean, he's summarizing major sections of this parak in just a few words. Ulazed there also, kasha yirbu hapoyshim, when in this world evildoers multiply, v'yatzadik lo yimche biyadam, and the tzadik is silent, does not protest, does not speak up, and when he witnesses evil, lo yikabel od hacheset. He forfeits the kindness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu customarily does to people who are good. So two steps. When a person does chesed, Hashem doesn't have to give you anything, doesn't owe you anything. If Hashem will give you reward, that's only due to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness. But it's very easy to lose that kindness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu customarily bestows upon man if you fail to make a macha, if you fail to protest acts of evil that occur in this world. That's the thesis of this parak. One more time, lezek asher yirbu hapoyshim v'atzadik lo yimche biyadam, lo yikabel od hacheset. He will no longer receive the kindness. Uvavur zeh lo yik. And that's why he's coming to tell Eve. Eve, do you know why? He's finally coming to answer Eve's big question. Do you know why you are not going to receive reward, and you're about to die, and you're not going to receive the reward for all of your good deeds? And he's not addressing why you're suffering. But do you know why you're not going to receive your reward? It's because you, in your lifetime, did not make a sufficient macha against all of these evildoers out there. Uvavur ze lo yikabel iov gimul masa hatoiv, ki lo miche keroi berishe hadar. Iov did not protest against the evil people of the generation. Okay, so that's the summary. Now we can go back and read the psukim. So again, let's review this thesis. He said really three major points. The question of Iov is that we're addressing, where is the reward? We're not focusing on the punishment. We're not focusing on the suffering. That's old news. That's a discussion that we already had. He wants to know, where is the reward for my good deeds? And the answer is, first of all, you have to be aware, when you do a good deed, Hashem doesn't owe you anything. Your good deed did not provide HaKadosh Baruch Hu with any benefit whatsoever. And if you would have done an Avera, you would not have been able to harm HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And certainly, therefore, by not doing an Avera, you've also have not given HaKadosh Baruch Hu any benefit. Not good, not bad. And as far as the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does promise throughout the Torah reward, that's nothing more than a pure kindness, chesed. And being that's a very light, there's no obligation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bestow that kindness, easy come, easy go. If a person fails to protest against acts of wickedness that occur in this world, that is sufficient for a person to lose, to be denied the chesed of reward that HaKadosh Baruch Hu customarily bestows upon man. That's the thesis. Yeah.
I'll just come back to my question from before. We always say when a person does a mitzvah, it gives an achas ruach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Yes.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu does get something out.
Yeah, you're asking a very good question. That's very familiar to us, that idea, to give an achas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here he's basically saying that when you do a good deed, Hashem gets nothing out of it. So how do we reconcile these two? Yeah. So there's truth to both. Obviously, the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world and He gave us the Torah and the mitzvos, there is some degree of satisfaction Hashem has. But yet, it's also true, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need that satisfaction. It's not that we've really given Him anything. The fact that Hashem made the world and created us, and we do His will, is a satisfaction. But yet, it's not a type of satisfaction which we can say, we've given you something, Hashem. You need this. We provided you with a service. Again, Hashem is infinite. We can't, we're always trying to limit Hashem in our human understanding, our human limitations.
Do you mean to tell me that a person, for example, like the Kodesh Chaim, Hashem doesn't get any satisfaction from the Kodesh?
Well, that's what Eli was saying. That's right. That Kodesh Baruch Hu, no human being in this world can say that I've given you something, Hashem. Hashem does not need any human being. Hashem is infinite. But yet Hashem has given us the Torah in the mitzvahs and told us what to do, and when we do it His will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pleased. But again, it's a type of pleasure that cannot be described in earthly terms. We have to stand back and recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. Don't limit HaKadosh Baruch Hu to your limitations. A human being, if you have satisfaction, if you have satisfaction, that means the one who has bestowed this act of kindness has given me something. By Kodesh Baruch Hu, he has satisfaction, but it's not on a level where the person that gave HaKadosh Baruch Hu something can say, I've given you something. Because the truth is, you can't give HaKadosh Baruch Hu anything. Let's read the Pesuk, maybe it'll become clear. Yeah.
Two comments. One, I think, to me it's somewhat of a demotivator, but that, I'll accept that. But the second part, how do you protest evil in the world? If you're going to be a good person, what is Elio saying? I should, every time there's something, I mean, where do you draw the line? How do you get out there? You go and protest in front of the UN?
Activism. March on Washington. You send a letter to do whatever you can do, whatever hishtalus you can do. Someone asks you to sign a petition. So that's also on your level. Are you able to go and march in Washington? I can't. I can't take off from work. I'm busy. I can't. But every person on their level has to show that you care, and it makes a difference. If everyone shows what they care, it definitely makes a difference.
But not to do the right thing. It seems the way to do it. For example, a family's in trouble, you go help. That's doing the right thing. Here he's saying, protest against wickedness.
That's right. That's right. Look what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, it's clear who's right and who's wrong. So. Where is everyone? How come no one speaks up? If people who really felt would speak up, things would be different. The answer is indifference. Indifference is it's a terrible thing. Indifference, just to stand back and do nothing. To someone, that's the greatest form of sinas chinam. It was a very interesting article about they did a poll. They did a poll a couple of months ago about chilonim, their feelings towards Haredim. So the poll was a shocking poll. The poll was, the question was, do you hate the Haredim? They asked the chilonim. Do you hate the religious or are you indifferent? I don't hate them. He asked the average irreligious Israeli who lives in Eretz Yisrael. You tell them about the army. They don't want to go to the army, and they don't do this, they don't do that. Everyone knows what a Haredi looks like. What is your attitude towards the Haredim? And the result was, we don't hate them. We don't hate the Haredim. We're just indifferent. We don't care. We don't care about them. You live your life, we'll live our life. We are indifferent. So most people, including myself, were pleasantly surprised. It's pretty good. It's pretty good that irreligious people are not. When I say charedi, I don't mean extremism. I'm talking about religious, any form of religious Jew. Okay, any form of person who's religious, no matter what your hashkafa is. So the average person's reaction was they were pleasantly surprised. It's pretty good. They don't hate us. If you don't hate us, so we can live in peace. So some of the commentators said that it's a very big mistake. The results are a lot worse than we could have imagined. Because in the eyes of Chazal, indifference is much worse than hatred. If you hate someone, it shows deep down you care. It bothers you enough to care about the person. If you are indifferent, there's no hope. It's dead flesh. There's no hope of change, of any reconciliation, of any compromise, of any balance. Given the example he gave was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva started learning when he was 40 years old. And Rabbi Akiva says, before I became a Talmud Chacham, when I was in Am Haaretz, I didn't know the Aleph Beis. When I would see a Talmud Chacham walking in the street, I had such hatred for Talmidei Chachamim, I wanted to bite them. And the Gemara goes on, not to bite them like a dog, or like a certain type of animals, but the bite of a donkey. And the Gemara goes, what do you mean the bite of a donkey? Because when a donkey, when a dog bites, or another animal bites, they don't break the bones. They just insert their teeth into the flesh. But when a donkey bites, it shatters the bone. It's a very intense description of the hatred that a Chiloni had for an observant Jew. Yes. Rabbi Akiva for an observant Jew. What would have happened if Rabbi Akiva was indifferent? Rabbi Akiva would see a Talmud Chacham walking down the street, a religious Jew. I don't care. Let him live. I'll live. Let him do what he wants. Would he ever have become Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva, who is credited as being as what we call the father of Torah Shebaal Peh, would he have ever become Rabbi Akiva? No. Nothing would have happened. You live your life, I'll live my life. Indifference. That's it. We'll go on our merry way. The only reason why he became Rabbi Akiva was because he had that intense hatred. Something bothered him. What was bothering him? What was bothering him is he sensed deep down inside that this Talmud Chacham has something that I don't have, that I'm not shaykh to, and I can't have, and I'm too far from having, and it bothers me. And then over time, over a period of time, 40 years old, he learned Aleph Beis, one thing came to another, where he was able to achieve, to become, and get that one he was missing, and transform that hatred into love, and became the...
It was coupled together with jealousy.
Exactly. What is jealousy? These are very deep psychological concepts. What is jealousy? There's something you have, I recognize, is a value. It is a value, and I don't have this. I would like to have it. And there are a lot of things that have to be worked out. Okay, I'm not a psychologist. I don't know how all of these things work, but it shows that you're alive. There is a living person. If Rabbi Akiva was indifferent, nothing would have ever happened. So this poll, okay, there's a very famous one of you, I'm sure you must have seen this in the news. This poll that was conducted in Eretz Yisrael about a couple of months ago, it's a very frightening poll. That the chilonim, the irreligious, their attitude towards the religious is, we don't care. You live your life, we'll live our life. How many Jews marry each other are religious?
Really?
What?
Really, a lot of the times the way the questions are...
Oh, exactly. You want to say, so you're suggesting is that the poll is not accurate, 100%.
They might want to say, they don't want to seem like...
Exactly, so the polls...
So they have an out.
And 100%, the polls, so in all likelihood you can reject the poll out of hand, the poll, the way it was questioned, how many people they even asked, yeah, 100%. But... if such a thing was true, okay, let's say there is a small degree of truth in this poll. Okay, we have to discount the numbers. We have to discount the results 100%. But just the fact that such a poll was done and the results are such, even if the poll is way off, if there is some small degree of truth in this poll, it's... Again, the average person like me was very, oh wow, that's so bad. You can live in peace, right? You can live in Eretz Yisrael, you can live in peace. You don't have to have all this hatred between all the different factions, all different groups of Eretz Yisrael. Shalom al Yisrael. But the truth is it really good? It's not so good. Maybe if they would hate us, maybe if the irreligious would hate the religious a little bit more, it would be better. Because, you know, the truth is, you know, and years ago, I once was exposed to some approaches to Kiruv, and this is what I was told. I was told in Eretz Yisrael, and then this organization was the Yad La'achim. Today they split. There's the Yad La'achim, there's Lev La'achim. But well, this is what they told us. I don't know if it's true, but this is what they told us. Well, when they Makariv Jews in Eretz Yisrael, they would hire, or they would ask volunteers, yeshiva boys, and they would tell them, you go to this neighborhood, this is a chiloni neighborhood, a secular neighborhood, they hate you here like you can't even begin to imagine. They'll see you in your black hat and your jacket, maybe whatever, they'll see your tits hanging out, they're going to hate you, you can't even begin to imagine hatred. What you do with hiring, you go to these people. This is the only narrative show, by the way. In America, you do this, you go to jail. Don't pass go. Don't pass go. That's the point I want to make. You go, you knock on their door, you come with a Gemara, and you say, I want to come in, and I want to learn with you a Daf Gemara. No politics. We're not going to talk about the army. We're not going to talk about religion. We're not going to do nothing. I want to come. And they would say, get lost. You get out. Don't get out. I'll shoot you. I'll shoot you. No, you're not going to shoot me. You're going to give me half an hour of your time. I'm coming in. I'm not taking no for an answer. I'm coming in. We're going to sit and you're going to learn with me a Daf Gemara. This is how they train. This is how Yad Lacham, at least they told us, how they train the boys. They would force their way in with chutzpah to a certain degree, and they would sit down with these chilonim, and they would sit and learn with them for half an hour, 40 minutes, an hour, a Daf Gemara. And that's it. And then they would say to them at the end, could we come back next week? They would say, yeah, come back. Yeah, you can come back next week. It was okay. I liked it. It was fun. It was fun. There was something, so it was engaging in it. And this went on. And through learning, it opened up their minds. And slowly and slowly they became religious. Now,
it's not only a matter of the content. The fact is that they have no interaction with the people they purport to dislike. And this way, they actually have an interaction with a person. So that helps break down the barrier.
Okay. But there's another element that's the question of what. Now, this does not work in America. Number one, in America, you knock on someone's door and they tell you to go away, you don't go away, they call the police, you're in jail in 2 minutes. This approach, Eretz Yisrael is a very aggressive, you all know, it's a very aggressive society. Okay, I don't mean to say anything big, Hashem, it's a different nature, it's a different culture, and what you can do in Eretz Yisrael, you can't do in America, you do in America, you can't do in Eretz Yisrael. In America, you try this, that's it, you're out. You're out, 1, 2, 3, you don't even dare. But there's another reason, besides the fact that we in America we're very timid and we have different types of midos in America. In America, there's more indifference. If you go to an irreligious Jew out somewhere out of town, and you knock on their door, they're just not interested. They're not curious. They don't have the hatred for you that can cause this revolution, this upheaval. In Eretz Yisrael, that tension is there. There's a hatred. That hatred is a healthy sign, and that can be used to your advantage. Okay, so this is the very idea. So here, what?
Chabad.
Yeah. Chabad is a different technique. Chabad, right?
Based on getting the people curious.
Okay, Chabad is their approaches are very controversial. Okay, they have a different than Mahal Chabad, whatever it is. But this to some degree is what is being expressed here in this pasuk. Here, Eliyahu is telling Eve, do you really hate evil? You're living a life. You're living high. Everything is fine and good all around you. The world is corrupt. Does it really bother you? It doesn't bother you. You don't care. You're indifferent. You're indifferent. How do I know you're indifferent? Because if it really bothered you, you would speak up. And the fact that you lived 70 years and you're a good man, you're very kind, you're very generous, he enumerated all of his good deeds, but you never really got up in front of the world and made a macha to express your frustration with all of the evil that takes place in the world. You were indifferent. A person who is indifferent does not protest. If you care, if it bothers you, if you hate evil, you would make a macha. This is the focus of Elihu in his musar to Eve and his explanation as to why he has not received reward. You know why you don't receive reward? First of all, Hashem doesn't owe you reward. Reward is a bonus. It's very easy to lose a bonus. If you work for a company, they have no choice but to pay your salary. They have no choice. There's a contract. You can take them to court. They're a loss. But when it comes to the bonuses, they have no obligation to give you a bonus. If they decide they're not giving you a bonus, what are you going to do? You're going to take them to court? Where in the contract does it say that they have to give you a bonus? You don't like working here? Quit. Go work for another firm. Go somewhere else. Hashem's reward to man is a bonus. You want the bonus? If there is a healthy relationship between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there will be a bonus. There is not a healthy relationship because Hashem is not pleased with the situation of corruption that exists in the world, and you, Eve, are indifferent to Hashem's frustration by not, and your indifference has been expressed by not making a macha. This is the way the Mitzudas expresses the theme that we're about now to come across in this section. Because one other point I want to make before we go to Vayan Eliyahu Vayomar, one other point which I don't know what it means, and just keep in mind in the back of your mind for one day when you review Eiv inside out and you know every single word and every single idea, that here Eiv is giving three responses. There are a total of three responses. If you look at Perek Lamed Vav, it says Vayosef Eliyahu Vayomar. Perek Lamed Vav begins with a Hosafa. Eliyahu is going to give, I think, if I'm mistaken, five responses. The first three responses, it just says Vayan. Perek Lamed Dali was Vayan. Perek Lamed Gimel was the first response. How did Perek Lamed Gimel begin? The Perek Lamed was in the middle. Perek Lamed Beis. K is where he Elihu Chiko Asiyah B'dvarim Vayar Elihu Vayan Pasuk Vav. Okay, Perek Lamed Beis is where Elihu begins his first response. Vayan Elihu Ben Barachel Habuzi. Perek Lamed Gimel. Lamed Dalet was the second response, Vayan. And now we're up to Perek Lamed He. And Perek Lamed He also begins with the word Vayan. Okay, so notice, the three speeches, we're about to begin the third speech, all begin with the word Vayan. He replies, he speaks up. Perek Lamed Vav is going to begin with the word Vayosef Elihu Vayomar. Question, why are the three responses Vayan? And the fourth is Vayosef. Why the change? So the answer, I saw very in the art scroll, it's a very fascinating idea, which I don't know all the details, just want to throw out the idea. Each response corresponded to one of the three friends. There was Eliphaz. Rashi says that? Which Rashi?
The first Rashi.
Lamed Vav. Lamed Vav. Okay, that's the next parak. I didn't get that far. Reisi b'tamei Rav Moshe Hadarshan shalafichach Omar Gimel Manos Kneged Gimel Re'ei Iyov Zerevi Hilafichach Nechot Hosef. Okay, it's Mamash Rashi. Okay, Rashi parak Lamed Vav, because I don't know that Rashi. I'm only a Lamed Hei. But, okay, so you see that's the difference why we're now coming to the third. Now, obviously, the next question is, how does each response of Eliyahu correspond to one of the three friends? To Eliphaz, Bildad, and Sofar, you have to really analyze, because they said they repeated themselves. There were a number of debates, but each one had a theme which they came back to. So we're now up to the third. The third corresponds to Tzofar. He was the third friend of Eiv. And now when Elihu gives forth his response, he's coming to reject Tzofar specifically. Okay, let's see. Vayan pasuk lamed hey, perek lamed hey, pasuk aleph. Vayan Eliyahu vayomar hazos chashavto lemishpat. Amarta tzidki mikel. He repeats the theme of Eiv, the thesis of Eiv. Do you think, Eiv, that you are righteous? This argument that you make, chashavta, do you consider in your mind to be lemishpat, to be correct? What argument? It's not exactly clear. Rashi, according to what we learned from the Mitzvah, it means this claim or this argument that you are deserving of reward. Do you think it's correct? It's said with mishpat. Amarta, you have said Sidki Mekel, I'm more righteous than God. I have done good to Hashem, and Hashem has failed to reward me. Do you think that what you're saying is correct? Let's take a look at the Mitzvah Stav Pasuk Beis. Hazos, v'chi hamane hazos, this argument, chashavto l'mishpat, you consider it to be just, tzoydek, now what is the argument? L'mishpat tzoydek, sh'amarta, what did you say? Tzadik ani yoseh mi'okel, I am more righteous than God, ki ani osisi atzadik, Hashem has, I have done good, v'hu yashoyk hagmul, Hashem has robbed me of reward. Okay, again, we're eating a lot of words into the pasuk, and that's why I read the mitzvahs at the end, the summary, to understand what's going on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has delivered the world to the constellations, and by doing so, He has denied me, He has robbed me of the reward that I deserved. So here he's asking this rhetorical question: do you really think that you're correct in making such a statement? Pasuk Gimel, Ki Soimar. What have you said? What is the essence of your argument? You have said, "My yiskon loch." What benefit is there in serving Hashem? I've served Hashem and I've not received any benefit. Umo oil, what have I gained? Mechatosi, from not sinning. Now here he's opening up a very powerful hashkafic issue, inyan, that a person has a predisposition to do avera. To do an Aveira. A person is born, Chazal say this, a person is born with the Yetzer Hara. He first gets the Yetzer Toiv when he's Bar Mitzvah. So a person, the Yetzer Hara always has a 13-year head start. You're always fighting an uphill battle. The Yetzer is given to the person when he's born. The moment he comes into this world, he has a Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Toiv only comes much later in life. So you also, when a person does not do an Aveira, when a person, you have to work not to do an Aveira. It's not your natural tendency to not do an Aveira. Just the opposite. It's your natural tendency to do an Aveira, and you have to withhold yourself from doing an Aveira. That idea is hinted to, alluded to in the words over here, mo'oil, what do I gain, mechatosi, from not doing an Aveira. The connotation is that without exerting myself, naturally I would fall into doing an Aveira. I have to work to pull myself out of not doing an Aveira. Okay, that's a very controversial idea, because by the Christians, the Goyim, they very much, they pervert this concept that man is destined to go to Gehenna. Right, this is really a very dangerous idea.
The original sin doctrine.
Yeah, I don't know all the problem, but this idea, it's true to some very small degree, but not to the degree that other religions, specifically Christian theology, how far they take it. Okay, let's take a look at Pasuk Gimel.
It's a very good idea, actually, that Hashem gives a person 13 years with the Yetzer before he gives the Yetzer Toiv.
Yes.
Because by the time he comes 13, he's already trained himself to fight the Yetzer Hara. If Hashem would give him Yetzer Toiv and a Yetzer Hara together...
Yeah. So, there's a battle. There's always a battle. No matter what you do, it's always a battle. Let's look at the Pasuk Gimel Mitzvah Dostavim. Mo Yiskalach. Ima Kol Ba Mitzvah Maracha. If everything comes from the constellations, from Mazel, Ma Hano Ba Lecha Me'avodah Sakel, what benefit is there to you from serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ima Hoyl Im, what benefit you have Im Hahimona, from withholding Mechatosi for my sins. Ratzolaymar. Menachet Hamut Ba Ba'odam. Here is where the Mitzvah brings out this idea. It's embedded. It's part of your nature. A person is prone to sin. He has a disposition to sin. Asher kimat tiva. It's human nature. Koyfeula forces a person to sin. Shocking thing to say. Okay, it's a frightening thing to say, but that's what he says. That's what he looks around the pasuk. The kasha lifa shemena. It's very difficult to pull yourself away from sin, and it's a struggle one must go through his entire life. And here Eve is saying, why bother? Why bother going through this struggle when you don't get anything for it anyway? You're not going to get any benefit because everything depends upon mazel. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi in Pasuk Beis and Gimel. Aleph Mane Elihu. Elihu is giving a third response. Hazois Choshavta LeMishpat Shu Mishpat Habrios. The following is what man, human beings say, their arguments connected Yoitram. The following is an argument man presents before his creator. Asher Hamarto, what is the argument that you have said? What is the argument that man always says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We always say, Tzidki Mishel Haboire. Okay, that's a very frightening thing, that man is always acting with chutzpah towards Hashem. Man always has a tendency tendency to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am more righteous than you. I'm better than you. I do more for you, Hashem, than what you do for me. I do the mitzvos, I daven 3 times a day. I do the mitzvos, I give tzedakah. And what do I have in this world? I just have problems. I'm just frustrated. Most of my life is nothing more than disappointments. One disappointment after another. Every person, unfortunately, to some degree, feels like that. Because every person is blind to the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with man. What benefit? What benefit is there in following the way of Yosher? What benefit? Now you see, Rashi doesn't really learn like the Mitzudos. He doesn't take such a harsh look at man that he's prone to sin. He says mechatosi means Yosher mechatosi. According to Rashi, he would seem that a person has an equal choice. A person does not have a disposition, doesn't say it. Maybe Rashi agrees. I don't know. Yeah, because Chazal do really say that a person has the Yetzirah when he's born and gets the Yetzirah later on. But Rashi doesn't at least bring out the point here in this pasuk. Man says, what benefit is there for me in doing a mitzvah over doing an Avera? Mitzudos is much more blunt. What benefit is there for me to overcome my natural tendency to do averos? Okay, pasuk dalit, ani ashiv chamil. Now Eliyahu speaks up. Eliyahu says, "Okay, that's what you say. We've laid out your argument. We're going to address this very specific argument." Now it doesn't. By the way, if you notice, it doesn't say anywhere in this pasuk about reward. All of that was added into the pshat from the Mitzudos, seemingly based upon what we're about to learn now in the future. He's summarizing an aspect, a dimension of Eov's argument, and the expression, the argument is, what benefit is there to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You don't get reward in this world. And now Eliyahu begins to respond. Ani pasigdal ani ashivcha milin. I will respond to you with words. V'yes re'echa imach. And in addition to you, I will respond to your friends. Here in this pasuk, there's a major shift into who is the primary audience. Remember last time when we began the third speech, the psukim were mashma, that Eliyahu was speaking primarily to the audience. And he said, Eliyahu, you could also listen. Maybe you'll have what to learn from what I'm about to say. He's basically the second response. The way the psukim presented was, Eliyahu, you've made a very chil Hashem. You've taught the world that there's no God, that there's no hashkacha pratis. So let me now tell the world that there is hashkacha pratis, and let me explain to them why you're suffering. And by the way, Eliyahu, if you want to listen, you also can listen. Maybe you'll learn from what I'm about to tell the audience. Here, in this response, Eliyahu is addressing primarily Eliyahu. He says, Ani ashivcha milan. I will respond Lashon Yachid to you, Eliyahu words, and now the friends, they also can listen. The audience also can hear what I have to say. Maybe there's something they can learn from my response. So it's very interesting. The third response is focused to Eliyahu, not to the audience. The same way I disagree with you, I disagree with your friends. This goes back to the theme that he said in the very beginning, that the friends always told Eliyahu, confess, you are a sinner. Eliyahu, from the very beginning, told Eliyahu, you're not a sinner. You've not done anything wrong. And indeed, you don't deserve to suffer. But you suffer for other reasons that are not known to us. But indeed, I disagree with your friends. You're not a sinner. And now he begins. Let's take a look at first of the Pasuk Dal in Rashi. Rashi, v'yesrei echa imach, sheshasku al devarecha. I want your friends to listen. They were quiet to your words. So Rashi appears to be learning not like the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says, I'm coming to disagree with your friends. Rashi says, I'm coming here to address the friends who don't know any, have an answer. Because at the end of all of this discussion between Eliyahu and the three friends, the one that got the last word was Eliyahu. And the three friends were silent, which seems to indicate that they were stumped. They don't know why Eliyahu is suffering. Eve got the last word. So now I'm going to speak up, I'm going to explain, and the response will be good for you and for your friends that don't have an answer either. Pasuk Hey. Habeit Shamayim Ureh. Right, we said this today in Davening. If you said Tachnon today. Look up to the heavens and see. Vishur Shechakim. Shur also means to look. Shur means to gaze. To look to Shechakim. Shechakim is another word for heavens. There are seven type of heavens. Gavhu, look to the heavens. Vishur Shechakim. Gavhu mimuka. They are much higher than you. The heavens are infinite. The height of the heavens are infinite. Let's read a few psukim together. Pasuk Vav. Imchotasa matifol bo. If you have sinned, what have you done to Hashem? V'rabu pisho echa. Even if you have increased in your pishom, you have done an abundance of sins, matasilo, what harm can you possibly have done to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he's telling him here, it's just like the heavens. There's nothing that you can do here in this world that has any effect on the cosmos, on the heavens, even though today all the scientists tell us that we do. If you drive a car, if you smoke a cigarette, carbon emissions. So you're destroying the heavens, right? They're telling us that they do. But basically, whatever man does in this world has no impact upon the infinite heavens. There is no... So too, whatever you do in this world, any good deed or any avera, has absolutely no impact upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's... Yeah?
It's interesting, in one pasuk you have Chei Pesha.
Yeah? Which pasuk? Where? Pasuk Vav. That also corresponds to Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Lamed Zayin also we had Chet and Pesha. You're adding Yosef al Chatosai Pesha. And here again we have those two words. Those two words. Pesha, Chet is a sin that's done b'mezid, and a Pesha is a sin that's done Chet is done b'shoyeg, and Pesha is a sin that's done b'mezid. Okay, let's go here. Let me see this Pasuk. Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey. Look at the Etzem. Look at its image. It has no connection to you. The heavens, the shamayim, the shechokim, they have no connection to man. Man is nothing. Kinega, the infinite nature and the essence of the shamayim and the shechokim. Govo mimiko. Asher govo mimiko. Me'od. They're much higher. Mimeka. Because I have a little dot. Mimeka, right, I'm sorry, you're right. Mimeka, Asher Gavu Mimeka, Me'od, Umerchak Rav Mimcha Aleihem, the distance between you is abundant. There's no connection. Pasek Vav in the Mitzudos, Imchotasa Rotzulaymar. So here he's connecting the two psukim together. Umin Hashemayim Tishbait. From the heavens, you can use the heavens as a moshel for your own situation. Al Hayeshev Mimalo, as a moshel for HaKadosh Baruch Hu who resides even above the heavens. Asher Imchotasa, Mahu Hadova Asher Tuchal Lefobo. If you have sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what effect can you possibly have upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Rabu Vim Rabu the Chaval Hadava Bemila Shunas, who repeats this theme in multiple words. Let's see Pasuk Zayin, same theme. Im Tzodakta, if you have done a good deed, Ma Titinla, what have you given HaKadosh Baruch Hu? O Ma Miyotcha Yikach, what can HaKadosh Baruch Hu take from your hands? What can you offer HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What benefit can a human being possibly give HaKadosh Baruch Hu by doing a good deed? If you do an Avera, you have not caused Hashem any harm. If you've done a good deed, you have not given Hashem any benefit. And this you can derive from a Kal Vachomer from the heavens. Just like the heavens are infinite relative to man, and man has absolutely can have no impact upon the heavens. Al achas kama v'kama HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Yoishev above the heavens, both physically and spiritually, al achas kama v'kama, it's impossible for man to have any impact upon. Pasuk Zayin in the Mitzudos, the Im Tzodakta, the Chenim Titztak. Mahu hadavar asher tidin lo bezeh, or mahu hadavar asher yikach miatzma miyadcha. What can HaKadosh Baruch Hu take from your hands? Pasuk Ches. The only impact you can have in this world is upon another human being. Okay, forget about global warming. Focus on man. Focus on doing good to man and harming man. That should be your focus. Pasaches, l'ish kamocha rishecha. To another human being like yourself, your act of harm can have an effect. Uleben Adam, and to another human being, tzidkosecha is your act of righteousness. So you know you could use this pasuk as a very good, these psukim as a very good reference to those who argue that space exploration is a waste of money. Spending billions of dollars, trillions of dollars to go to Mars, what are you going to accomplish there? Spend the money on man, on a man just like you here down on this world. Instead, okay, you'll argue by going to Mars, you'll learn lessons that we could one day apply to man. You really believe that? You'll stimulate the economy. You'll stimulate the economy by exploring, by spending trillions of dollars. Look at all of the people you'll employ. You'll employ. All right, I don't know how economics. Yeah.
Ego went to the moon. It's all shekel. It's all false.
It never happens.
Because you look at the flag.
Yeah.
On the moon, it's like wind.
They're wires.
There's no wind.
That's why they put wires in the flag to make it look like it waves. To look like it's waving. It's olam shel sheker. Isn't that sad? They have to do that. If there's no wind, so let either the flag drape or make a flag that stands straight. Why do you have to make a flag with wires to make believe that it's waving as if there's wind when there is no wind? That's the sheker. We have to be an olam shel sheker. It's a very sad state of affairs that was necessary for something like that to be done. Okay, so the point he's making over here is that a person has no effect on the Shparuch Hu. If you want to have an effect, the only one you can have an effect on is upon another human being. Another human being is your equal. The etzem, in essence, the imach yeshe bekirbacha, and he lives with you. Human beings, they live together on this earth. Lo yazik rishacha. If you cause harm, he will suffer. It's possible to have an impact upon another human being. Asher tasilo, whatever you'll do to him. V'chein lo yol hatzdaka. If you'll be kind, you'll do acts of righteousness, another human being will derive benefit. Asher tasim imoido. Avolola Hashem, but it's impossible for a human being to have any effect upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, he does not need our good deeds, and he is not affected by our bad deeds. Uchoimer, what he means to say here in essence, Elihu's argument is, Vihine, Bihiyoskin, being that it's so, Ein al hamakom l'shalim gmul. This goes back to the theme of Elihu, according to the interpretation of the Mitzudos, as we mentioned when we started from the summary. Therefore, Ein al hamakom l'shalim gmul adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not owe human beings anything. Hashem does not receive a benefit from man's good deeds. Hashem does not receive harm from man's evil deeds, and therefore Hashem does not owe us anything. By us doing good deeds or by us holding back and not doing evil deeds does not entitle us to demand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu reward. Loi ba'avur himanu minachet, not due to withholding from sin. Vloi ba'avur asos hatzedek, not in reward for doing good deeds. Ulam, why then do we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does promise reward to men in this world? The answer is, it's nothing more than a bonus. It's nothing more than an act of kindness. Ulam hagmul haba la'adam hu bituvoi hagadol uvichastoi harav. It's only due to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite kindness. But, there's a very big but, and that's the implication of the remainder of the parak, which we're not going to do now, and that is, since it's nothing more than a bonus, it's not an entitlement, easy come, easy go. And all you have to do to forfeit your bonus is show that you're indifferent to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, indifferent to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pain, and that man does not follow his will. Rashi, just a few Rashis and we'll stop. Rashi pasik hey habet shamayim the acharei shehu gavav yata namoch. When you'll take note that the shamayim is infinitely high and you are low down, the aim low to elas birish echa v'tzidkecha Lama tispo'er elav bitzidkecha. Now you'll take a look at the Shemam, you'll use the Shemam as a mashal to take note that it's infinite and therefore you have no connection to the heavens. Alachas kam v'kama, you have no connection to the Shemam. So why then do you, Eev, according to Rashi's interpretation, why do you glory? Why do you take glory in the fact that you were a good man all of these years? You are nothing. You have no connection to the Shemam. Le'ish, pasuk yud ches, le'ish asher kamocha, yuchal v'yoyel rishecha. To another human being, you're able to cause harm, v'tzidkecha, and you're able to do good. Re'ei Risham Rabim Asher, and now he goes on in the next psukim, he's leading into the next pasuk to go take a look, learn from the wicked people. Look from the wicked people that have committed terrible crimes and take note that you, Eiv, have failed to make a macha. And therefore that's why you will not receive the reward that you so desperately desire. Because there are evil people in this world and you have failed to protest their evil actions. Alright, we'll have to stop here.